Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
We want to officially welcome everybody that's watching or listening tonight, either via by Facebook Live, by YouTube, or by our podcast. And we are excited to announce that we are now on Spotify and we're on Apple iTunes. So if you have an Android and you like Spotify and listen to podcasts there, you can find us there, or you can find us at our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you have an iPhone, an iOS device, you can simply go to the podcast app, just search in End Time Headlines, look for our ETH logo, our official ETH logo, and you will see our podcast there. So we want to welcome everybody tonight. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. Tonight, I want to talk about the subject of you are either watering or you're either sowing or watering, and the little parentheses there on our Facebook Live broadcast, I put, this is not about money. So everybody that's listening on our podcast, don't freak out, because we're not going to talk about money tonight. That's not what we're talking about tonight. And so if I had to subtitle this message, it would be, I want to talk about six principles that we can learn about winning souls to the Lord, six principles that we can learn about winning souls to the Lord. Now, the reason why I said that, and I want to say this, if you're this is your first time viewer or listener, please let us know if you can inform us that this is your first time watching, first time listening, first time on the broadcast. Please let us know in the comment section or email us or message us and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate you guys taking the time to jump on here and listen to our broadcast. Now, our foundational scripture, the reason why I said you're either you're a sower or you're a water, you're either sowing or you're watering, is based out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. And this is what it says. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let me say that again. I planted, that's planting the seed. You're either sowing or planting, one and the same. You're either planting the seed or you're watering. Now, Paul said he had a revelation here that he planted, but his fellow brother in the Lord, Apollos, had watered the seed that he had already planted. But listen to what he says. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything, and neither is he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Now, that wasn't a derogatory statement from the Lord saying that that you're not of worth, or you're not of value, or that you're not needed in the kingdom. But you and yourself and me and myself, we cannot bring someone to the Lord per se. And now this is the revelation here. What do you mean we can't bring them to the Lord? I thought we were called to be soul winners and we were called to go into the harvest. We are. But listen to me. But when we get into the harvest field, I'm talking about the world, when we get into our job, our workforce, we get into the marketplace, when we get into our relationships with our friends and with our families and with the people we work with in different locations and different places, we are either, listen to me, we are either as Paul, and we are planting or sowing seeds. We're sowing the word of God by witnessing to them, sharing to them the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're being living examples. We're being a living testament to them. We, you and I, are the only Jesus that many will ever see. So what are we doing? The Bible says we're letting our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So we are planting the seed. And remember the parable of the sower and the seed. And when that seed goes out, it either brings a harvest, either 30, 60, or 100-fold based on the condition of the heart in which it falls on. All right, so I hope everybody understands this, that again, many of you, including myself, either is or have or will be the one who plants the seed. Did you know that you can use your Facebook, you can use your Twitter, you can use your YouTube, you can use whatever sources or resources that you have, you can use for the glory of God to plant a seed. You can plant a seed by a social media post. You can plant a seed by your testimony. You can plant a seed by your witness. You plant a seed by the example that you set among other individuals at your workplace, around your family. The fact that that your family's dysfunctional and messed up, and a lot of them are bound by drugs and bound by alcohol. They're all going to the club. They're all going out to the bar. They're all getting drunk. They're all getting high. A lot of these people are swearing under every breath. And the fact that you're not talking like them, you're not acting like them, you're not bound like them, is a living testimony of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So what is that doing? That's sowing seed to them. I go back to my own personal testimony, many of you have heard this before, but when I was lost in the world, I had one set of friends, plural tense, and then I had one friend that I hung out with on occasions. He was I called him the Nicodemus of my friendship circle. I called him the Nicodemus of my friendship circle. Do you remember in the Bible? Excuse me, guys. There was a teacher of the law who, in the stealth of the night, he went. He was a teacher of the law, and his name was Nicodemus. And he went into the stealth of the night, and he found Jesus alone. And he began to testify to him that he believed that he had to be the Messiah, or there was something about this man because of the works that he was seeing, because of the miracles that were happening, and because of the things that were happening. He said, "We know that you have to be more than a teacher. There has to be something about you." And then, but don't miss this. The reason why the man went to him in secret or in stealth is because he had a reputation to uphold. He was full of pride. He didn't want to lose his reputation. He didn't want to lose his position. He didn't want to lose his notoriety. So he went to him in the stealth of the night in private. I can relate to Nicodemus because I had a buddy of mine who... We knew each other from grade school. We grew up together. We lived in the same neighborhood. We rode the same bus together. We went to school together. And then there was sometimes I would hang out with him. But the thing that I noticed about him that I didn't notice about them, and what I mean them is my other friends, and this is not to speak bad about them, but the thing I noticed was he never cussed. He never drank alcohol. He didn't do drugs. He didn't partake of a lot of things that I was involved with this other group of friends. So his lifestyle was a living testimony to me. It was a testament to me. Does that make sense to everybody? He was sowing seed, not just by the word of God, but he was letting his light so shine among me that I was seeing the glory of God upon him. All right, guys? So this is what we're trying to say here. So number one, here's what I want to share with you. Number one is you're either planting or sowing, or let's go to the second part of this. Paul said, I planted, but Apollos watered. And what does that mean? What does it mean to water? It means that you may come across an individual either wherever in your environment, in your and your livelihood or your routine, whether it's at work, whether it's your ritual, whether it's your routes that you take. Everybody has a routine. Everybody has a ritual. You go the same route every single day probably, or either one or two ways to get to work. You punch the clock at the same time. You see the same people. You deal with the same folks, et cetera, et cetera. And here it is. If they are not receiving a planted seed from you, then guess what? You are watering a seed that has already been planted by someone else who's come before you. What do I mean by that? So here is, I'm going to use an example. Here is Todd. Todd works with me at work. I begin to work with Todd. I get to know Todd. We get to talk to each other. We have lunch together. I get to know a little bit about him. He gets to know a little bit about me. And somehow, some way, the Lord begins to open an opportunity for me to begin to talk to Todd and begin to minister to Todd. I begin to tell him my testimony of how I came to the Lord and begin to share with him the glory of God, the goodness of God. And I begin to share to him about the gospel. It opens the door about the gospel. And lo and behold, I discover by doing this that Todd says, you know, I already know about the Lord. My grandmother already, she used to take me to church as a little boy, or my mother used to take me when I was a young child or when I was a teenager, or my father is a pastor and I've kind of been running from it, or whatever the case would be. And what that implies and what that is telling us is that he has already had the word or the seed planted in his heart. But now you already know this. What are you called to do? We're not called to continue to sow seed because it's already been sown. Now you can sow the seed, it ain't going to hurt, but it's already been planted. You will be more productive at this point to water the seed that's already been planted. And you say, how do you water the seed? You go home, listen to this. You go home in private in your prayer time and you begin to lift Todd up. You begin to intercede for Todd. You begin to pray for Todd. Now, having get to know Todd, you'll begin to know what his strongholds are. You'll begin to know what are the very things and what's the root that's keeping him from receiving Christ. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it unbelief? Is it bitterness? Is it resentment? Is there some kind of a hurt in his life? Has he backslid? What is the backdrop? What is the story of Todd? So when you know this, then you will know how to effectively pray for him and intercede for him. Thus, you're watering the seed that's already been planted. Now, here's the good news. The Bible says as a result of either planting or watering or the mixture of the two, eventually Galatians 6:9 says, if we don't grow weary in doing good, in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Because remember, according to 1 Corinthians 3, in the context of Paul saying, I planted and Apollos watered, he said that God gives the increase. What does this mean? It means that you will go through a season of planting and or a season of watering the seed, and then over a process of time. Guys, I can't tell you how long it's going to be. Some folks come to the Lord in a short time. Some come in a long time. I can tell you, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. You know, I was raised in a home where my mother was raised in the Lord. She was raised in the house of God. She had the seed of the word of God planted in her, but she went on a revolt. She backslid. She met my stepfather because my real father was never there in my life. He left me as a child. So there was a void there. And because of that, there was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of bitterness and resentment, and as a result of that, she began to get connected to an individual she probably should have never got connected with. He was an alcoholic, and thus it pulled her into a deeper bondage, and she just fell more and more and more farther away from the Lord. But the roots, come on, the seed was still in her heart, and it remained, because though she was away from the Lord, the seed still was in her. The seed still remained in her, even though she was drifting from the Lord. That's a whole other message, and I could just preach probably 45 minutes on that, but I'm not going to go do that right now. I want to stay with the topic here. But even as she was raising me as a little boy, she would always tell me about Jesus. She would tell me when I was sick, if you'll pray to Jesus, he's a healer. She understood him as a healer. She understood him as a deliverer. She understood all these things, even though she was not serving God. So it's kind of messed up. And to be honest with you, because she was sowing the seed of the word in my heart, but being a living example, I was not seeing that. So for 23 years of my life, I understood about God, but I didn't know God because I had no example to live by. Both of my mother and my stepfather was not serving God. They were not going to church. They were not in the word. But all the while, my mother was still sowing the seed in my heart. So there was seed going in. But little did I know, behind the scenes, I had God-fearing aunts and uncles, a God-fearing grandmother, and one of my best friends, who I just talked about earlier in this broadcast, who was behind the scenes watering the seed that had already been planted in my heart. So watch this. So years went by. 23 years went by. 23 years. And then on June 2nd of 2000, we think well, it was a simple invite to church. They came and they got saved. No. There has been a process. You may not understand that. You may not comprehend that. But I'm telling you, this is just not some flyby of the seat of your pants. It just so happened to happen. No. There's been people behind the scenes that have been praying. They've been travailing. They've been interceding. You may not never meet them on this side of heaven. I challenge you, take out a notebook, take out a journal. And if you really start thinking and you really start processing in your mind, I guarantee you, you will start remembering either family members, friends, acquaintances, school, people that you went to school with, school classmates, a pastor in a church somewhere you got invited to, or somewhere down the line, somebody has been watering that seed, because your Bible says no man comes to the Lord lest the Spirit draw him. So the Spirit's got to draw you to the Lord, but somebody's got to be praying you in. Okay? So again, on June 2nd of 2000, when the message was preached and the Holy Spirit convicted me and drew me to repentance, guys, the seed had already been sown in my heart for years since I was a little boy. But through the years of watering that, it was the culmination. Come on, the due season came, and God gave the increase by me, coming to the salvation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that leads me to number one, six principles we need to learn about winning souls to the Lord. Number one is never give up on believing for people. Because again, never give up on believing for people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's why. Because the fact is, the bottom line is, you are either planting or you're watering the seed. And eventually, don't give up. Come on, because you will reap if you faint not. All right, so number two is be willing to go the extra mile and meet them halfway. Again, go the extra mile and meet them halfway. What are you willing to do? Come on, to plant that seed. What are you willing to do to water that seed? What are you willing to do to let your example, let your light shine? Are you willing to give them a ride to church? Are you willing to go over their home if necessary and pray them through? Are you willing to sacrifice your time to pray with them, to go out to eat with them, have some coffee with them, have some dinner with them, and plant some more seed? And come on, let your light so shine. Are you making time for them? Is it uncomfortable for you? Is it stretching you? Are you willing to get your hands dirty? Are you willing to get dirty? Are you willing to be as the Good Samaritan and go where they are and not necessarily wait for them to come where you are? See, we always want them to come to church. We always want to get them. We want everything to be right. We want the climate to be right. We want the environment to be right. We want the right people to be there. We want the pastor to preach the right message. We want the praise team to sing the right song. We want the right people to be there. We want the wrong people not to be there. We don't want to scare anybody. We don't want to spook anybody. We want everything to be perfect. Friends, if you're looking for that to happen, it will never happen. You've got to be willing to go the extra mile to meet them. Abraham was willing to go into the enemy's camp of Sodom and Gomorrah and deliver his nephew Lot. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, Jesus said, if a man desires your coat, he says, give it to him. If he desires for you, if he asks you and wants to borrow, he says, don't turn him away. He says, if they ask you to go 1 mile, take them 2 miles. Go the extra mile and meet them where they are. Number three, be prepared. Oh, this is a good one right here. Be prepared for setbacks and disappointments in the process. Let me say that again. Number three, if you're taking notes, is you might as well go ahead and prepare for setbacks and disappointments while you're waiting for the increase, while you're in the process. See, because here's what we do. We plant the seed, we water the seed, or we do the combination of both. And because they are not coming to the Lord in our time frame, in our timeline, in the time in which we think that they should come, we become discouraged, we become disappointed. Come on, and we start mumbling things, and we begin to start saying things like, these people's gone too far. They're never going to come to the Lord. They're too bad. They're too deep into whatever they're into. They're too far in bondage. They're too much of a heathen. They're into this. They're into that. There's no hope for them. I just give up on them. I'll let somebody else deal with them. Come on. I know I'm preaching to somebody right now, but I'm trying to tell you that you might as well get prepared for setbacks and disappointments, because it's inevitably going to happen every single time you are trying to win somebody to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you one you'll see every time. If you can talk an individual and try to persuade them to come into the house of God or get them to come to your church, you can almost take it to the bank. If they tell you that they're going to come on Sunday morning, I'm telling you, all hell will be released on their behalf to prevent them and keep them and hinder them from coming to the house of the Lord. They will be in perfect health, but the Saturday night before the Sunday morning that they're supposed to come to church with you, all of a sudden they come down with some weird diagnosis. They go to the doctor and they say, this is totally abnormal. This is so odd that you came down with this, because this is a rare case of fill in the blank. That's the day that the engine blows up on the car. That's the day that the kids get in all kinds of trouble. Come on, either Saturday night or Sunday morning, and all of a sudden you get the phone call. Come on, you get the phone call. You know, I was on my way to church, but this happened, or that happened, or I lost my wallet, or you're never going to believe this, but our dog got out of an escape-proof fence, and he crossed the road and got hit by a truck, so I'm not going to be able to make it to church today. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the enemy is trying to prevent. Come on. Souls are at stake. I want you to say that with me. Souls are at stake. Listen, do you think you're going to just plant and you're just going to water and you're just going to preach the gospel to them and you're just going to let your little light shine? Come on. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You're just going to do all that and have a good time in the Lord, and you just go invite them to church, invite them to the youth group, invite them to your house group, your home study, your cell group, and you just think that the devil's not going to oppose it. He's not going to try to prevent it. You think he's just going to say, "Oh, you know what? I'm just going to roll out the red carpet and let them come on in." No. Listen, do you know how many times my dear friend invited me to the church and I told him no? I said, "No, that's not my cup of tea. I don't want anything to do with religion. I don't want to deal with religious people. I don't want to stop doing this. I don't want to stop doing that. I don't want to stop doing the things that I like to do." I'm telling you, I had every excuse in the book not to come to church or give my heart to the Lord. So it was excuse after excuse after excuse. But one thing that I noticed that he possessed that I'm trying to tell you right now is persistence. He didn't let it sway him. He just kept, listen, he didn't give up on me. That goes back to my first one. The first one I said, never give up. He didn't give up on me, but he went the extra mile. He met me where I was at. He went to where I lived. We went out together to the store. He wasn't afraid, come on, to go to the enemy's camp. But number three, he understood what I'm telling you, setbacks and disappointments. So what if they turned you down? Try again. So what if they rejected your offer? Keep sowing. Keep watering. And he said, "Well, they cussed me out. They did Jesus too. Well, they just persecute me. They did it to Jesus too. They lied on me. So what? They did that to the early apostles. They made up stuff on me. They did that to the early apostles. And they do it today. Come on. This is the price that we pay." Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "I don't want you to be unaware, my brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, also just among the other Gentiles." Notice, Paul said, "I was coming to observe the fruit in your life, and I was hindered." Now, you can read on in the book of Romans, and he tells you who hindered him. It was Satan. Satan hindered him. Why? Because Paul, the same man, the apostle Paul, said, "I desire to come to you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." Do you think the devil's just going to let us have these things without an opposition or adversity? It's not going to happen. Okay? So I said setbacks and disappointments. And then number four is a different level, because I kind of tied this in with it, but it's a whole different level. And that's be prepared for opposition. I really got ahead of myself and I tied these in. But if you're taking notes, write number four. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Apostle Paul says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, don't be ignorant of his devices." Come on, opposition. Opposition. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. That word devices there is schemes, plots. Come on, are you familiar with the devices of Satan? Are you ignorant of it? We've got church folks, we've got leaders, pastors, people behind pulpits that will tell you, they'll tell you, you shouldn't study Satan. You shouldn't study his devices. You shouldn't study his plots. You shouldn't study his schemes, because you should only lay in the lap of Jesus and never study spiritual warfare. Well, that's the most dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because friends, one of the first things that you're going to have to do if you're going to achieve victory is you're going to have to study and plan your plan and get to know your enemy. Even John said that, "Love not the world nor the things of the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the devil." Now, what if John took the advice of some of these preachers today and said, "You know, I'm not going to give that, I'm not going to share that with the church. Thank God he gave us that revelation. Thank God the Apostle Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Because listen, if as believers, if we don't understand that we are dealing with demonic spirits and spiritual warfare, then guess what? Then we're going to be just as guilty as the people out there that are pointing their finger at race. They're pointing their finger at ethnicity. They're pointing their fingers at groups. They're pointing their fingers at political parties. But quit pointing your finger. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, those... Do we ignore these things? No, we don't ignore them, but we have to acknowledge that those are merely pawns. But come on, the chess player, the puppet master, the one who's pulling the strings is Satan. We are not wrestling flesh and blood. It wasn't a collar that pulled triggers. It wasn't all these things that massacred people. It wasn't all these things. It was the demonic forces that were working behind it. It was the enemy that was behind it. It was what you could not see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in heavenly places. So this is why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. Somebody asked me this week, what do you think about all these shootings? I said, it's the spirit of lawlessness. It's the spirit of wickedness and evil that's vexing our nation. It's gripping. It's darkness. Gross darkness is covering the nation and covering the earth. So we've got to be alert. We got to be aware of what's going on. So you say, what do? Come on. You put on the whole armor of God. You begin to declare Psalms 91 over your family. 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. Come on, you got to begin to declare the word of the Lord. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling, but I shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, under the secret place. Come on. I'm trying to tell you, you got to plead the blood of Jesus over your kids, over your children. Listen, school's already begun. You think for one second I'm not going to lay hands on my kids and plead the blood of Jesus over them before they step out of this home, before they step foot into a place where I'm not around them, where I can't be with them in the flesh? You better believe I'm going to loose some angels over them. You better believe I'm going to loose some prayers of protection over them. You better believe I'm going to decree the blood of Jesus over them. And what I'm trying to tell you, friends, is when you begin to sow seed of the word of God, and you begin to water the seed. When souls are in the balance, friends, the Bible says, all souls are mine, says the Lord. All souls are mine, says the Lord. The word of the Lord says that be not ignorant of this thing. He says that it is the will of God that none perish and that all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is now listen, Satan knows it's the will of God for all to be saved. So we are dealing with souls here. And if you think Satan for one minute is not going to oppose that, friends, you are naive. Come on, you've got to get with it today and think about what I'm trying to tell you today. All right, number five. That leads me to number five. I'm trying to get through this pretty quick tonight. Number five is... Okay, so we plant the seed, we water the seed, God gives the increase, now they've come into the kingdom of God. They're born again. Their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're saved, okay? Now what do we do? That leads us to number five. We've got to have a plan to disciple them after their conversion. Friends, do you know how many people go to mass crusades like the Billy Graham crusade back when... he was in his prime and he preached these crusades and thousands upon thousands would come forward and they would give their heart to the Lord. They would get saved. They'd get born again and then they would leave. And many times they would go back to their churches, go back to their communities, go back home, and there'd be nobody there to disciple them. What do I mean by disciple them? I'm talking about get them rooted and grounded in the word, get them plugged into a local church and a local body, get them under a pastor, get them under a leadership, get them in a flock. Get them and the gathering together of other believers, even more so as the day approaches. Begin to equip them, come on, in spiritual warfare. Equip them in the elementary principles of God. Equip them in all these fundamental foundational truths of being a Christian. If someone is not there to disciple them, friends, I'm going to tell you something. What's going to happen is we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them because the devil's going to come after them at full force. He's not going to give up the fight. Look, you think because you gave yourself, you gave your heart to the Lord, the devil's just going to, oh, well, you know what? He gave his heart to the Lord. I'm just going to back off of him. I can't touch him now. No, he's going to come full force and he's going to try to tempt you. He's going to try. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, and it's the truth. I had more devils coming after me after I got saved than I did before I got saved. Come on. I'm telling you, within the first 3 days of getting saved, I had people showing up with drugs trying to get me to partake of that. I had old relationships that would contact me out of the blue and try to get me connected with them. I had all kinds of goofy stuff take place right after I got saved. Why? Because the enemy was trying to get me lured back into captivity. Why do you think the Lord says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you can get back into bondage once you get saved. Then pray and tell me why the word of the Lord says, stand fast in the liberty and wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again. If it's not possible, how could you get entangled again with the yoke of bondage? How can, the Bible said, the Spirit expressively says in the latter days that many shall depart from the faith. And they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're going to depart something that they were first a part of. Come on, some of y'all get that later. Ephesians 3:17, Paul said to the church of Ephesus, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Acts 2:41-43, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Come on, somebody. And I love this too, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't consider myself to be a Baptist, but here's one thing I stand strong in with my Baptist brothers and sisters, and that is I believe when you truly give your heart to the Lord, you need to be baptized in water. I know a lot of Pentecostal charismatic churches today don't emphasize water baptism like they did in the early church, but I'm going to tell you something, and if you go back to the early church, when you said yes to the Lord, you gave your heart to the Lord, it was immediately, friends. They didn't delay it. They didn't postpone it, but they immediately baptized you in water. Now look, I'm not telling, I don't believe that you're saved by water baptism, because you're not. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief at the cross wasn't able to be baptized in water, but he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me. Today you shall be with me in paradise. So the man entered into paradise. He got saved because the Bible says in the book of Romans that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, you shall be saved. But that is by no means any excuse. If you are willing and you are able to be baptized in water, by all means do it, because it's a commandment of the Lord. Did you know that praying, fasting, and giving is a commandment of the Lord? If you go to Matthew 6, it says when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. He didn't say if. He said when you do it. Oh, come on. If I didn't make you mad on the water baptism, I'll make you mad on that. Because you got a lot of people that are okay with praying, But you got some of the church that's okay with giving. That's really kind of split. But I'm going to tell you, there's a huge group of people out there in the church that ain't going to do nothing about fasting. All right, so then number six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's number six. Here's the next one. We got to get them plugged into a local body or group of loving, mature believers. Listen, I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care what denomination you're a part of or came out of. I don't care what your position is. I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, whatever, a pastor. I don't care what your position you are. You are not exempt from the Word of God. That in Hebrews 10:24-24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And as much as the more, as more so as you see the day approaching. I know in the modern church age that we're in today, we've got a whole lot of lone rangers. We got a lot of parking lot prophets. We got all these people out there that think that they are exempt from authority. They're exempt from accountability. They're exempt from being plugged into a local body. They're exempt from being accountable to any believers. But friends, you, if you hold to that belief, it will not take you long until you start getting whooped up on by the devil. You're going to get beat up on by the enemy. Friends, there is power in numbers. The Word of God says, how can any two walk together lest they be agreed? The Bible says, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. The Bible says that if where there are two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. There was 120 in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And the glory of God fell. The baptism of the Holy Ghost fell. The early church was birthed in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And there was more than one individual. There was multitudes together. The Bible says they added to the church daily. They went from house to house breaking bread. They gathered in homes. They gathered in synagogues. They gathered in temples together. The Bible says if you wander, a man who wanders from his nest and wanders alone shall be destroyed. Because, guys, this is a principle. Okay, even in nature, nature even testifies to this. When you watch these nature shows, if you know anything about this, you'll begin to see these zebras or you'll see these antelopes and they'll, or gazelles or whatever, and they'll be in herds together. And the lions or the cheetahs or these the predators that are preying on them will, this is a known fact, they're patient and they will wait. And they will pick off the weak and the wounded and the elderly that's in the pack. And many times the ones that they get are the wounded ones that can't keep up with the others. Come on, the old ones that can't keep up with the other ones. And what happens is they begin to drift away. And as they're isolated, they are prone to be devoured. This is why the Apostle Paul said, be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want some brothers and sisters that are going to be in the trenches with me, that are going to be on the mountain with me, that are going to be in the valley with me, that are going to weep when I weep, they're going to rejoice when I rejoice. Come on, they're going to shout when I shout. But when I'm going through something, they can lock arms and they can pray me through something. They can rebuke something. They can cast something out if they have to. Come on, they can point their finger at me and tell me, listen, dummy, you're out of line and you need to get a checkup from the neck up. Come on, I'm talking about accountability. I'm talking about unity. I'm talking about getting plugged together with each other. Now listen, I understand there's people going to be listening to this podcast, watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook Live, and not everyone is able to get themselves in a local body. Whether it's physically, they can't do it. Whether it's locality, because there's some people, listen to me, there is some churches out there that it is There are some churches out there, they don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the doctrinally sound teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in the moving of the Spirit. So I get that. If you're in that predicament, this is really, you know, this is a situation where you need to find, whether it's online or a home church or whatever, there's venues, guys. God will give you an opportunity to do that. And we understand that. That's why we even have a Facebook page called ETH Community Church, online community church, because there is individuals that fall into that criteria. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that the majority of us don't fall into that criteria. I'm telling you, if you ask, seek, and knock, it's going to be given to you. You're going to find it, and the door shall be open if you're really, really get serious with God. God will show you what to do. So listen, here's these six principles. Write these down. Take notes on these. Pray over these. Don't lose heart. Remember that. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because at the end of the day, guys, you are either a planter or you are watering a seed. You may do both. But in this, again, out of 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. So I hope this message has been a great blessing to you. You guys watching by podcast, thank you for jumping on here. If you'll just hold on to when we close this thing out at the end of this broadcast, you guys on YouTube podcast, when we close this thing out, there's going to be more information on here where to find us. Our main website address, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We're going to give you more information on how to subscribe to us. There's going to be information on how you can support this ministry. If this ministry is a blessing to you and encourages you guys on Facebook Live, we want to encourage you to go under to the link that's provided. If you click on that link, it's going to take you to our main website. There you can subscribe to notifications, subscribe to our main email digest every single day. There you can click on, there's going to be the website page where you can go and you can click and be a partner. There's going to be information on how you can partner with us, either a monthly partnership or a one-time gift or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Again, we trust. Listen, we are not going to charge you by email subscriptions. We're not going to, we don't sell materials, CDs, DVDs, books. We don't charge subscription fees. We don't charge any of that stuff. The gospel is free. It's free of charge. All these messages are free. All we ask is that you be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If he puts it on your heart, because this ministry has been a blessing to you, you sow into this ministry, you give, you partner. If this is your home church, you be obedient to your tithe and your offerings, and the Lord will open the windows of heaven and bless you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let me quickly close this broadcast by praying over you guys real fast. And again, as always, we appreciate you coming on here. Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. I pray for those that are the planters and those that are the waterers, Lord, and we pray for both. We pray that they not become weary. We pray that they not become discouraged. We pray that they not become disappointed. But know that, Father, if they continue and they become persistent and they continue doing the good work that you've called them to do, keep their hand on the plow, that, Father, in due season, Lord, it may be this week, it may be next month, it may be a year from now, we don't know, but in due season, they're going to see the rewards of their labor, the fruits of their labor. They're going to see the harvest of the salvation of their family members, their co-workers, their neighbors, their friends, all whatever the Lord, whoever they're praying for, Lord, they're going to see the fruits of that labor. And Father, we just bind, we take the authority to loose and bind, and I bind the adversary, I bind the enemy that would hold back the harvest of these laborers that have toiled night and day for the harvest in which they believe in for. And devil, we command you to loose your hold, loose your chains, and loose your bondage and your deception over those whom you've kept your scales over their eyes. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the harvest that's coming in for these faithful saints of God, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. So thank you again, guys. God bless you. And until we see you again, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.